This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jane Hamden. All this week on Lake Effect and during Morning Edition and All Things Considered, we're considering youth violence in Milwaukee. One of the most comprehensive programs to fight violence in the city is Safe and Sound. It brings together neighborhood groups and law enforcement and dispatches workers to homes and street corners to talk face-to-face with kids at risk. Barbara Notestein is executive director of Safe and Sound. Aaron Edwards is one of the organization's community partners. He works in the neighborhoods. Welcome, both of you, to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Barbara, first, the basics. This organization was created, 10 or so years ago. How did it come about in the form that it exists now?
We are celebrating our 10th anniversary. Safe and Sound was created by Senator Herb Kohl, then Mayor Norquist, and U.S. Attorney Tom Schneider as a strategy to work on crime in Milwaukee. Our mission is to reduce crime and violence in the city. And they thought that addressing that in three ways would be most effective. We work on developing youth in Milwaukee, keeping them busy in positive ways after school, keeping them out of crime, and really developing their skills and abilities as contributing members of our community. Also, having community organizers who work door-to-door, who talk with residents about the issues and problems that they see, mobilizing those residents, mobilizing other resources in the community, and then also working very closely with law enforcement.
Now, this organization came about as the result of a task force, and you hear that phrase and most people's eyes glaze over, but they were pretty specific about what you wanted to accomplish, and that's getting into the neighborhoods.
Yes, Safe and Sound is very much a neighborhood-based initiative. Our purpose, and this purpose did grow out of the Youth Crime and Violence Task Force that operated around 1997-1998. The idea is that we will work in neighborhoods to mobilize the resources and the strengths of those neighborhoods, whether it's families, youth-serving organizations, churches, businesses, law enforcement, elected officials. We bring them all together for the purpose of identifying strategies to reduce crime and violence, to clean up and fix up the neighborhoods, and really make a difference so that people can feel safe in their own homes and in their own neighborhoods. They can walk to school and feel safe. We want to empower people to make change and make a difference in their own neighborhoods.
Okay, that's the description from the woman at the top. Aaron Edwards, you are out there on the street, and this is your mission. This is what you're trying to do. And so what is your day like, and what's a successful day for you?
Sure. Well, our day changes pretty often. We have a lot of work that we do on a day-to-day basis. I would say one of our main objectives and goals is to conduct at least 40 door-to-door contacts with residents on a weekly basis. The purpose of that is to find out what's going on in the communities, listen to the concerns of the residents, and try to address those issues with those residents. Like Barb said, we work very closely with the police districts that are in our sectors, and we also work closely with the aldermen and county supervisors in those sectors. And together, we try to improve the quality of life in those sectors together, working together collaboratively.
Okay, which neighborhood is yours? And when you knock on a door or when you have contact with residents, what's your pitch and what are you selling?
Sure. Well, my two sectors currently are McGovern Park, which is on the northwest side of Milwaukee, and Clark Square, which is on the near south side of Milwaukee. I think it's funny because most people, when we come to the door, they just don't understand or understand exactly who we are at first. Sometimes they think we're the cable man or door person or, you know, phone operators. But my pitch to them is, hi, my name's Aaron Edwards. I'm with the Community Partners. We're going door to door to see how things are going for you and your neighborhood. Also, on a daily basis, we have a packet of resource information that might have some city service numbers in those packets or something as pertaining specifically to that neighborhood, maybe an event that's going on. And then we also try to find out exactly what's a crime issue that's affecting that neighborhood, and we try to make them comfortable by making small talk with the residents, but on a quickly note so that we can finish on the block. And then, you know, they start to open up after a while and explain to us what's going on in their neighborhood because they feel comfortable with us. And so we get a lot of information out of that from doing those pitches.
At first, do you ever get skepticism like, here's another do-gooder and we've seen this before and nothing ever changes?
Exactly. That's probably one of the biggest issues, but all of our partners are very skillful in their talking, and they know how to pitch exactly what we're doing, which is to empower the residents in that area to have a safer neighborhood. Most people, other organizations maybe that come in the neighborhood, are looking for one-dimensional factors that they're trying to address in the issues. We're trying to go over the board, all over, with different issues that are affecting those folks, whether if it's not a place to, maybe the residents are looking for a place to send their youth, maybe they're looking for, personal issues, whether if it's bills that need to get paid, whether it's heat assistance, you know, a variety of gamut of things. And we have a lot of those resources that we can offer to those folks. But I think our biggest issue is crime that we try to address.
Now, Barb, one of the missions of Safe and Sound is to provide safe places. And so there are all kinds of designated Boys and Girls Clubs and lots of other facilities. Tell me about these resources and who shows up there and what you have for them when they show up.
Safe and Sound funds 36 after-school safe places for youth. We find in Milwaukee, just like every other city around the country, the crime spikes in the hours after school, and then starting at about 6 p.m. it starts to go down, and then at 9 p.m. it drops off very significantly. Youth need to be engaged in positive activities. They need to be supervised after school, and hopefully we're getting them to school as well, which we need to deal with in Milwaukee to prevent truancy. But we engage the youth in many things, and then we're also evolving in terms of what we're doing. The youth get tutored, they're mentored, there are athletic programs, drama programs, just a variety of things that will help them develop. But the direction that we're going in now, in particular since the community partners joined the Safe and Sound staff last year, is to really focus on getting the safe places, the community partners, law enforcement, residents of the neighborhood, to work together on youth-led strategies to prevent and reduce crime. We need to develop our youth. We want them to do their homework, to stay in school, to be active in positive kinds of things, but we also need to show them that they have ideas and skills and abilities to make a difference in their own lives and in their own neighborhoods. And so we've had these safe places working with the kids on their own projects. For example, and Aaron can talk about some of the projects that he's done, but the United Community Center on the South Side organized with their youth the first youth-led crime analysis meeting, where they got 200 youth from around the city to talk with police, elected officials, a variety of people about what was happening with crime in their neighborhoods. They went out and interviewed residents and taped the interviews, and they are looking now at what they can do to address crime in their own neighborhood. And this is going to make a big difference in terms of how our youth develop and see themselves as potential job holders, leaders, et cetera, in their own communities.
In the course of our Project Milwaukee coverage, we've heard a lot of this about, you know, asking young people, what's your idea? What do you want to do? How do you want to approach it? But you hear the word empower. Sometimes it's one of those buzzwords that people are like, yeah, I've heard that before. So Aaron, again, on the street, when you ask a young person, a teenager, okay, what's your idea? So you say things stink or you're scared or there's nowhere to go. What's your idea? Do they respond to that?
Oh, yeah, they do, definitely. I think, you know, as time tells, youth for many years have felt like they're not being listened to. And when you give them that question, they kind of stand there and pause with awe, like, wow, this is really being asked to me, and I can ask, you know, tell you exactly what's on my mind. And a lot of youth, from my experience, feel there's a lot of adultism going on where they're
adultism.
Not...
Adultism.
Yes.
It's an ism.
It's an ism where adults are basically oppressing the youth, and they feel that they are not being heard. And that's where, fortunately, we get to come in as youth workers. Some of us have that background, but we get to work with the safe places to engage those youth to have these youth-led programs be effective.
And how many Aaron Edwards are there out there? How many real people like you, young people on the street, do you have out in the streets?
We have, I think, about 11 at this point. There used to be 20 community partners, one for each of the neighborhoods that Safe and Sound works in, but and the partners were part of another organization. That organization, due to budget cuts, had to reduce the number of partners, and then we took over the program. But we would very much like to build up the number back to 20 or 21 again, because what you find is that these partners get to know the residents. They know what's going on in houses. They know where the drug houses are. They know where the businesses are. They know who's in those neighborhoods. And one of the things that they are particularly good at is we obviously have large numbers of kids out on the street during the day when they should be in school. And the partners are very good at talking to those youth and sometimes convincing them to go to school, sometimes getting them involved in the safe places. But they are a frontline resource for us to interact with youth and engage them. And so we need to rebuild our cadre of community partners.
Well, yeah, what you're doing is exciting and admirable, but 11 people, I mean 20, to try to meet up with all the different kids who are out there who could use your help? That seems like a drop in the bucket.
Safe and Sound does work. Last year, we worked with 23,000 youth between the ages of 10 and 19, and that's roughly 40% of the age-eligible youth in our neighborhoods. But the fact of the matter is that there's another 20-plus thousand out there that we're not working with, and we may not even be working with the 23,000 intensely enough to really make a difference.
Well, what is it? I mean, is it money from the city, from the state? I mean, what do you need?
We need money. We need donations and contributions from every level, whether it's, I mean, the city supports us. We get Black Grant money. The state has given us some money. But the fact of the matter is that we do need to put more resources and invest in our youth and our communities in this country. And that is something that we need to look at. How are we spending our funds and what are our priorities?
I have another question about the resources after school and on weekends, the Boys and Girls Clubs, places like that. Many of them close at 9 o'clock at night. And what I've been hearing again through our Project Milwaukee stories and interviews is that what do the young people do after 9? You know, that's when a lot of tragedies happen.
Many of these after-school programs were not even able to stay open that late. One of the things that Safe and Sound has done is to provide resources to youth-serving organizations so that they can remain open into the evening. But you're right. The longer we're able to keep them open, the better off we are. Now, we do have a curfew in this community, and youth do need to be at home by a certain time. But keeping them supervised, engaged, mentored, et cetera, for as long as possible is very, very important.
Now, Aaron, you've made this your work. I mean, obviously, it's fulfilling, and you're getting satisfaction from it. How do you successfully reach a young person? You must come across and know young people in crisis. You must meet them all the time. What qualifies to you as success with one of these kids you can see veering off into big trouble?
You know, it's pretty plain. Communication. The more that you effectively communicate with these youth, the more you'll get out of them. Sometimes you'll get the hardest nosed kid that, you know, doesn't listen to anyone, is quote unquote a troublemaker. But if you really find if you do sit down and talk and listen to them and understand what's on their mind, it's very effective. Extremely effective.
But with hundreds of kids just in your districts alone, how much time can you spend with that one kid who needs a mentor?
Well, you know, sometimes it's not always just with that one kid, or maybe it's a program that's happening at one of our safe places, and you try to engage those youth that you saw maybe the week before and try to invite them to come to the center and join one of the workshops that are happening at the center and try to engage them that way so that you're talking not to one but to 100 of them and saying the same message and trying to, get that quality of communication going on with them.
Well, thank you, both of you, for telling us about Safe and Sound.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
You.
Barbara Notestein is Executive Director of Safe and Sound in Milwaukee. Aaron Edwards is a community organizer, one of the group's outreach workers or community partners. There's a link to more information on Safe and Sound from our website, WUWM.com. Tomorrow on Lake Effect, a similar program making inroads fighting violence in Providence, Rhode Island. That's a city facing challenges as tough as Milwaukee's.
We're actually fearing that this summer is going to be a really bad one in the city of Providence. The state is in a real crunch. foreclosures have gone up by 1,000%, and we're starting to see this kind of broken window thing. So we're playing defense now, where in the past we were playing offense.
The Institute for the Study and Practice of Nonviolence in Providence, another city's strategy. That's tomorrow. But just ahead here on Lake Effect, the economy and violence in Milwaukee as Project Milwaukee continues here on WUWM.